so many are gone this week. I know we still got people out at the lake doing the crosswater stuff and all kinds of other stuff. But I want you guys to bear with me with this, because there's a reason why I chose this passage. I've been looking forward to preaching this message for a while. I've been working on it because as I was doing my reading this year in 1 Kings, I was stuck with this, and I kind of earmarked that for, hey, we're going to take a break from Hebrews on Mother's Day because I want to drive moms crazy and preach a message that'll make their ears go insane. But the reason I chose this is because I hope that there's some encouragement and hope for moms in here. Now, I know that we read passages like this, and we rightly so learn the primary lesson in a passage like this, right? That the primary lesson is that God has given Solomon wisdom. If you don't know the backstory here, Solomon has now become the leader of God's people. And he has this prayer earlier in chapter 3 where he's talking to God and he's saying, my father was a righteous and upstanding leader, and Solomon is worried about being a good leader, a good king to God's people. And so he asked God that God would give him the wisdom that he needed. What's important to realize, too, he doesn't ask God to give him the wisdom that he needs so that he could go off and be successful in himself, but he distinctively asks, God, would you give me the wisdom that I need so that I might be a good leader of your people, right? This is what he wants. And so we know the story of Solomon, that God blesses him with this wisdom. And Solomon uses it for good. Sometimes he uses it for not great, right? But this is this story here that Ken just read. The primary kind of point of that story and lesson is that shows how God had given Solomon the wisdom, and it proves that wisdom has come from God. This was the purpose of the story. At first you see Solomon asking for this wisdom to be a good leader, and then he's challenged with this crazy circumstance of two women that come and this child that they both claim belongs to them. And it shows in a rather unorthodox way Solomon solves the problem, but he uses this godly wisdom. And that is the primary kind of point of the passage. But I think there's more to the story than just how wise Solomon was. And I think, as I said, this story I hope provides encouragement and hope for moms. Also instructions for the rest of us. Not every woman out there is a mom, but everyone has a mom. And with all different flavors and ways, right? So I hope this is encouragement, because there are some secondary things around here. I'm not going to go through and read that entire passage again. We're going to narrate through it, because I want to just share three things with moms, you that are here today. This is for you and for the rest of us to glean and to be reminded of this. And the first thing is, there's no such thing as a perfect mom. Before you try to hang me, understand, I'm not saying that to drag any mom down. I'm saying it to build you up. No one needs to be treated with more tenderness than moms do. Sometimes I think we're honestly too hard on our moms. We expect too much. And we also look back at our moms, and some have moms that made serious error and mistakes. And sometimes we're eager to be less gracious than we could be. And sometimes, especially, I know when you get to my age, some of you, I'm younger than some out here, and I'm older than most. When you get to my age, when your kids are now grown, and I look back at my mom and dad, and I realize, man, my mom was not nearly as bad as I thought she was when I was younger. Because you learn that it's a lot harder. I'm not a mom, but I'm a dad, right? And I learned that being a parent is so much tougher than I ever thought it would be. There's more blessing than I ever hoped there was, but it's also so much harder. And sometimes I think we're too hard on our moms. We look and we we're easy to look back and pick out every error they ever did with us, because quite honestly, sometimes we're too high on ourselves. But I also think sometimes on the other side, moms are too hard on themselves. They have expectations that are unmeetable. I believe that's one reason that God tells us this story, because it shows something that, again, that there is no such thing as a perfect mother. I didn't know if you noticed, but the two moms in this story were prostitutes. God doesn't choose in this story to give us one woman that's all jacked up and one woman that's got it all figured out, and then he can use that wisdom to discern who's the good mom. No, two women that are prostitutes. The babies, both of the babies that are revealed in this story were evidently conceived under sinful circumstances. Prostitutes could not get married in this time. So this isn't like holy unions. There's not women that got it all together. These are two prostitutes wrapped up in sin, living in sin. And so you'd stop and you go, well, why would Solomon, the king over God's chosen people, even take the time to worry about two prostitutes having this argument? The king surely has better things to do than to spend his time fixing a situation between two women that are in the dregs of society. They weren't respected. They weren't prominent. They were prostitutes. Why would Solomon do that? Well, the reason was Solomon was concerned about these women because God was concerned about these women. So look, I don't have to convince anybody here that the church should be for holiness, right? God is for holiness, and therefore the church ought to be for holiness. We ought to be seeking holiness, right? But God also stands for forgiveness and restoration. And therefore we in His church should stand for forgiveness and restoration. And as we stand here at Mother's Day, let us remember one of the things this teaches us is that there is no such thing as a perfect mother. Neither one of these ladies were perfect. Just like there's no perfect one regardless other than Jesus. And if there's anyone in our lives in whom we should willingly overlook their faults, it's mom. It's mom. It should be your mom. Let us not put our moms on an unattainable pedestal. You know what happens when you put people on a pedestal, right? You set them up for a hard fall. Let us remember that there's no such thing as a perfect mom. Not even in this story. But God cares about that imperfect mom. So moms, I want you to know, I know you look back and you probably think of all the mistakes that you've made in your life. And God still looks at you with the same love and desire for you. You don't have to be perfect. God loves you, and so do we. That's the first thing. The second thing that I see in this passage that I think is hopefully an encouragement to moms is that God has the wisdom for your struggles. And for your problems. Look, I'm going to say right now, for you youngsters that are here today, that maybe you have in your mind someday you want to have a family, right? You're planning on having children. I'm going to give you a little bit of advice for you here. Do not expect stress-free motherhood or fatherhood. It doesn't happen. It doesn't exist. Being a parent is one of the great, has one, some of the greatest joys in the world, but also some of the greatest fears in the world. I'm going to say, and I think moms carry it even more than dads. Sometimes dads, look, let's just be honest, sometimes dads have that attitude like, well, I could just make another one, right? But moms have this special bond from the moment of conception, right? And they, it's challenging. And I'll say this, I've said this before, and I'll say it many times. My wife has worked harder and worked longer, being for majority of the last 23 years, Maria has been a stay-at-home mom and raised our kids, and she worked way harder than I ever did. More hours, more responsibility than I ever did. I'm pretty sure that's why she decided to go back to work. It was all done. She needs a rest. She went back to work now that the kids are grown. I'm not saying this to discourage anyone, right? Being a mom is hard. But the good news is, as God is willing and able to give the assistance and the wisdom that they need. God didn't give Solomon wisdom for show, right? This is why I think there's a secondary application here. Certainly the main point was that to show how God had given wisdom to Solomon to be a good leader and to lead people in godliness and to do the right thing. But it wasn't just for show. God dispatched his wisdom in this situation to do two things, to save a child and to save a heart of a mom. That God looked upon a mom who was struggling, who was fearful, who had made mistakes, and God is now going to move the king to bring wisdom into her life to help rectify the situation that she has found herself in. God has wisdom for your needs and your worries, mom. But you should turn to him for it. This prostitute here, making her case. And think about the audacity of this story. This prostitute mother is making her case to the king of her nation. And God moves this king to fix it for her. Moms, whatever situation, whatever the circumstances, this story is just another piece of evidence that all you need to do is to ask God, and he will give you the wisdom to move. Isn't that the promise in James 1:5, right? If anyone lacks wisdom, do what? Let him ask God. And what is the promise? And God will give it. That applies to you, moms. You don't have to have it all together. Again, like, I'm not a mom, right? I'm a dad. But I remember when Emily, we left the hospital, left King's Daughters Hospital in Temple. It's no longer, now it's a children's hospital. And I remember going to get the car because they said, well, we're going to wheel your wife and baby out. And I remember getting in the car and I was shaking. And I pulled up, and what the thought that ran through my mind is, these people are going to really let me take this kid home? And as scared as I was, I know Maria was even more. Because let's face it, moms have the primary role of nurturing and caring. And so moms, I know, whether you're a young mom or you've been around for a while, you're always going to have those times where you're like, what do I do? I'm struggling here. The answer in this story here is, go to God. Ask him for the wisdom, and he will give it. God moved the king of his holy people to fix the situation for an imperfect mom. No matter what mistakes you've made in the past or mistakes you're making now, God is willing and ready and able to show you his way that you might be successful as a mom, but also glorify him in the midst of it. So God has the answers. The last thing I think, is really for us, for those of us as we think about our moms today. This side of heaven, there is nothing like a mom's love. The text, this text here, as we just read, shows the true heart of a mother. No matter the sacrifice, a mom that is seeking to follow the Lord will always put her child first. In this situation, the real mother, as we just read, would have rather seen her child go to another woman to never have the relationship that aches in her heart for. She would rather have seen someone else raise her child than to have her child killed. I've watched and learned enough to know that personal sacrifice is a pivotal part of motherhood. I've watched my wife do it for years. Put things that she wanted to do aside for 20 plus years as she devoted her life to raising my children. I've watched many women in this church. I don't make much of it, but I just celebrated personally the 19th year of being the pastor here at Crestview. And I've watched so many women here over the years raise children, watch the sacrifice that they give. And how they sacrifice not just their time, but I mean from the very beginning, they're sacrificing their own bodies, if you will. No mother's child ought to get over the sacrifice that the moms have been. The mothers fed us, nourished us, protected us with their own bodies even before we saw the light of day. I don't know anyone else who loves me enough to carry me around for 9 months. But a mother's sacrifice doesn't end there, it goes on. They give up sleep at night. They give up personal goals to help their children achieve their goals. We need to honor our moms. We need to honor them. What they give and sacrifice for us is only second place to the sacrifice of Christ. Whether your mom is perfect or not, remember, she's not. Whether you look back, I know that there's probably some here today that don't have a good relationship with their mom. That look back now and they didn't have a good upbringing. The moms that we're talking about here were not their situation. Here's the answer for that. God loves you, and He knows you're not perfect, and He's willing to give you all the wisdom so that when you go that route, you can be the mom that you wanted, that you can break the cycle. Why? Because God has the answers for you, and if you seek Him, He's promised to give it. But it's not based on you having it all together or your mom having it all together, but it's based on the fact that you have a good and gracious God that cares for you and wants to lead you in the sacrifice of motherhood to His praise of His glorious grace. I'm thankful for all of you. I'm thankful for the women, like the ones I'm looking at now that I've watched, that I've learned from. As many of them here, we were raising kids at the same time. And I learned, and I know my wife learned. So we rejoice, and we're thankful for you today. And I hope that each and every one of us goes and makes much of our mom. Not just today. Not just today. But every day. Because they truly are meant to be a gift from your Father Let me pray. Father, I thank you. I thank you that we do set aside this day to rejoice in the blessings that you give us in our moms. And Lord, I pray that you would bless all the moms today, that their days would be filled with joy. And Lord, for those who sadly don't have that sort of relationship, I pray that you would provide for them by your means and your grace those relationships in your church that they might know that they are loved and cared for. That they might experience sacrificial love. Father, I think you have worked that sacrificial love in moms to point us to the greatest sacrificial love. As your word says, you proved your love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Lord, would you use us as a church to encourage one another, to come beside those who today is a difficult day, but also remind us not to shackle our moms or anyone else with an unattainable love, but look upon them with grace and mercy and pour our love out on them as they have on us. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need prayer this morning,